And peace to you from God our Father, precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we ask that your word would speak to our hearts and minds, and not only at this time that we have to gather, Lord, but I would pray as we go through our daily lives that our thoughts, our hearts would be inhabited, Lord, and filled with your presence. We thank you that you can do this through faith and through the power of your Holy Spirit as a gift in Christ. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So talking about getting to know God, and there's different attributes that God has given us. He's done this so that we can get to know Him. And, you know, I'm sure everybody here, everybody I think in this room has been baptized, I believe. And everybody in this room, almost everybody in this room has been confirmed. And so, you know, you think getting to know God, why, what's the deal? Why? But there's so much to God that we don't know. I mean, it's just huge. And there's so many wonderful, awesome things that there is about God. And they're not just knowledge that He, you know, has out there for us to fill our minds with. It's meant to fill our hearts and our heads, and to bless us, and to guide us, and to strengthen us, so that through faith, we would feel comfortable, knowledgeable, aware of His presence in our lives. Have you ever been in a situation where you wonder where God is? I mean, I have. Dealing with some of that this week, with the Albers family, and some of the difficult things we have to go through, and some of the folks I was talking with, I mean, it's reality. It's the way life is. It's really hard at times. We wonder kind of where God is. He's there. But the number one thing is that we really need to just recognize. We need to be aware that He is with us. We need to recognize it. Look at the psalm that I put in your outline. It's like the second page in there. Where can I go from your spirit? Isn't that beautiful words? This psalm is just incredible. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So you could go anywhere. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with. The psalmist says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths. Sometimes we're in the depths. Sometimes we're feeling just joy. We're like overjoyed. Doesn't matter where it is. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, and look what His hand wants to do, wants to guide me. His hand wants to guide you, wants to speak into your life. It is so important for us to get this. We need this. It's more than just a service. It's more than just a work. It's a relationship that God wants to establish with us, and He wants to maintain. And you know, relationships, they actually take work. Marriage is a relationship that it takes an investment. It takes work. Any relationship does, with our friends, with our kids. And I like this where it says, your right hand will guide me. Right hand, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. See, the right hand in Hebrew and their biblical mindset and culture, that's the power of God. We talked about His omnipotent power last week. And that's His omnipotent power that's able to hold us. And He can do anything. Somebody was sharing with me some of the storm damage on Race. Did you see that when you came in? I did not get a chance to see that because we come from Paxton and it wasn't that bad. But you know, our friends and members, the Calhouns, live right on that area. So I'm going to reach out to them a little bit later and see if they're okay, because they had a celebration last night for Miller, who's graduating. But you know, God shows this power to us, again, not to terrify us, but for us to just know that He is present, He is able to take care of us, and we need to recognize it. This is important for us to do. It's not always natural for us to do. But God wants a relationship with you. Let me share this. I was thinking about this, and it brought to mind when I had first met my wife, Jill. So this is taking us back many years. And when we were in college, this was the summer before we were married, so this is 1981, and the summer before we were married, we had to be away from each other. Have you ever had to experience that? We were talking about it last night after the service, and I know our kids just got married, our youngest kids just got married in the beginning of January. And I know maybe you've experienced this. Someone was sharing last night. He was in Korea in the war and he was writing letters. When you receive a letter from the one that you love, that God has knit into your heart, you have a relationship with that person. So even though it's words on a page, it's so much more, isn't it? It's just so much more meaningful. It speaks to you. You see, this is what God wants to have with you. Why would I say that? It's because look who Christ is. Look what He did. He didn't come down as all high lofty and those religious and churchy priests that were separated from the people. You can hear how people talked about Jesus Christ. They said, hey, this is a guy that relates to anybody and everybody. And He receives them. And it's good to be around Him. He ministers, He cares, He loves. You see, he did that because He wants to show us that God wants to relate to you. He wants to care for you, and He really wants you to know that. And you know, He is away from us. We're not close to Him. And He told the apostles in our gospel reading that I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm not going to be around, and we're still waiting for Him to come back. But He's given you some love letters. He's given you them in the Word of God. And we need those. There's times when we really need those. They need to speak to us. Consider some of the blessings of God's presence. I don't know if you're going through a hard time. I know some of us are. This week was very difficult. You saw the email notice that I sent out for Jim Albers. I knew Jim Albers and the grandkids, Holden and Owen. I mean, they're beautiful kids. And, you know, this is the sort of thing where we just don't know what life is going to bring, you know, and it's difficult for us. And my heart goes out to you if you're dealing with a difficult time. You might be having just the best week, the best month ever, but not everybody is. And we need God to speak into us at all those times. When we're happy and we're joyous, give Him thanks and praise. Sing with Him as the psalmist does. And just give Him that thanks. Thank Him for that. Last week I mentioned to you, the week before last, not this immediate last week, but the one before, I was coming home from church, and the sun was setting. I was talking about the omnipotence of God that week, and I saw this person that had parked right to watch the sunset right off 45, and I thought, that is the coolest thing in the world, you know? You're just watching God's omnipotent power there, and you just need to do that. You need to give Him praise. Give Him praise. Tell Him just, you're a wonderful God. Thank You for doing this, God. And when we're struggling, and when we have to deal with issues, we need to know that He's there. How can we know He's there? You can open up, you read the Psalms, and when you read the Psalms, just if you were to just randomly even open to one, you'll see so many of the times the psalmist is just pouring out his heart to God and just telling God exactly what he needs. There's times when you're tempted. When the devil and your own desires are going to come in and they're going to tempt you to get angry, to get upset, to get disgruntled because you're not happy the way it's going, or this or that, or these other things. Those are temptations. And what they're doing is they're drawing you in to take you away from the goodness and the grace of God. God's never out of control. God's loving and He's kind and He wants us to just dwell in that. And there's sometimes you'll be drawn into sexual sin. You'll be drawn into envy and jealousy and other things. And you know, God wants to strengthen you at that time. You might not remember a Bible verse, might not come to your head immediately, but God through His Holy Spirit is in your heart and your mind, and He's drawing you. He's saying, trust in Me. Don't fall into this, because when you do, you know what happens? When we fall into temptation, we feel separated from God, don't we? You feel distant. Sometimes you don't even feel like you want to come to church. Sometimes you feel like, I'm not worthy to come up to the communion rail. And this is exactly the place you need to be. And I really would encourage you, I say this all the time, but I cannot say it enough. When you come up and you fellowship around the Lord's body and blood, you receive the body and blood of Christ. And He says to you, regardless of your sin, He says, I already know it, and I gave this to you to forgive your sins. Believe it. Rise up from here and believe that God is able to do something that you can't see. Our God is a wonderful, powerful God, we've heard. Our God is present everywhere and in everything. So let me close and leave you with 4 points. I did not put them in your outline, but I invite you to jot these down. They will bless you. They will help you. Because what we need to do, I believe this, and I'm speaking to myself as a pastor and a father and a husband, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to you as well, that we need to practice the presence of God. And I got to tell you, it is not natural. You have the world, you have your own flesh, you have the devil, and these things come against us. And so, number one thing that you can do to practice the presence of God, and this isn't just only from me, by the way. I mean, this is from my readings and thoughts over many years and from many different people that have shared with me. But the number one thing I believe to do is to ask Jesus in. To ask Him to come in to your life. Now, I realize that might sound really weird to you. You'd say, what? What are you talking about? We have the baptismal font over there. We're baptized into the body of Christ. And besides, we don't invite Him in. That's a work that we do. Well, I got to tell you, the devil's a lot smarter than you are. And I have to tell you that your flesh does not want to follow God. And it doesn't take us long to see that something can happen in our lives, even the most commonest of things, and we can get worried, upset, angry, stressed, all those things, right? And what you have to do, you have to invite Christ in. You have to say, Lord God, remind yourself, You are present in this situation. You are right here, right now. And it's not only inviting Him in through the Word of God, that is key. Get into the Word, have the time of fellowship, have a time of quiet, but it's also to appreciate the blessing that God has given you with your brothers and sisters. That is a blessing for us to be able to know that we can receive encouragement from one another. Isn't that totally cool? That somebody in the Lord can come alongside of you and they can speak to you, they can encourage you. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's your kids. Our kids encourage me sometimes. It's amazing. But you need to, in that way, to invite Him in. So invite Him in. Welcome Him in. It's huge. And along those lines, be quiet. Be quiet. We are too insanely busy. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old. I talk to retired people and they tell me, I talked to one this week, said, I am busier now than I was when I was working. And the day goes by just like that. It's gone. I don't know how I can be this busy, but I am. Be quiet. There's too much noise in our lives. It is good for us to just turn to God and unplug. You don't need the phone on. You really don't. You'll survive if it's not on for 5 minutes. You don't need some time to answer that text or that email. God is present. God knows. I'm not talking about just ignoring and you know, not responding to people. That's not what I mean, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we're so busy, it's good for us to tune into the fact that God is present. That's what changes the situation. And our lives are really busy. And God is speaking, but we can't hear Him. We can't hear Him. And the end result is we end up feeling the stress and the anxiety and the difficulty that this world is seething out. 3, talk to God about everything. Nothing is off limits. Talk to God about what's bothering you, because He wants to help you. He's present in it anyway, and He wants you to know that He's able to help you. This is really a key thing, just to share with Him. There's such a huge relief about being honest to God. And sometimes it helps us with some people, some personalities. You need to list them. You really need to write them down. Some of us are more mental and more picture-oriented. Some of us, when we see it in writing, and the very fact that we actually wrote that down and saw it and did the action, it reinforces it. We need to talk to God. You know, the fourth one I want to share with you is one that God really impressed upon me this week. I was reading the book of Jonah, and I'll share what the Lord taught me and shared with me in it. But the fourth one is to grow in an attitude of praise. Grow in an attitude of praise. Our culture right now is so ridiculously negative and dour and sour. It is horrible. Everybody seems to be complaining about something. It seems like all you have to do is just complain and you win. That's not right. It's not what God wants us to do. So let's just back off a little bit. And so I was reading Jonah. How many times have you read Jonah? I've read that tons of times. I've probably preached on it a few times. I've heard messages on it, read Bible studies on it. You know, when I was reading it this week, I was looking at the Hebrew text and something jumped off the page. You know, Jonah was a complainer. You know, all he did was complain through the whole thing. He didn't like God doing this. He didn't like God doing that. He didn't like God sending him to Nineveh. Well, so, and then God, look, you went and saved all those people, and that's not the way that I wanted you to do it, and this and that, and he just went on and on. And the thing is that really gripped me about that, because we all do that, right? I mean, that's I get. And that I'm not complaining or criticizing, because I know it's a challenge for us. But what I'm saying is, this is important for us to hear. That idea blinded him to two very important things. It blinded him to who God is and what God is doing. He could not see that God is a God of love. He couldn't see it. And he could not see how God loves people and cares for people. And the end result, what happens is, it kindled something in him that just burned like fire, and he wasn't able to put it out. A fascinating thought to me. And I thought how important it is for us in our lives to really just develop. You know, God is positive. You know, He's positive about you. You know how I know that? It says in Corinthians, in the definition of love, that He hopes all things. That's you. He hopes all things regarding you. He believes all things. He actually has a positive attitude for you. He is just totally sure He is able to get you to heaven. And I shared that yesterday at Jim's passing when we fellowshiped together. God is totally sure of that. And aren't you glad an omnipotent God is sure of that? He said He hopes all things, He believes all things, He never, ever, ever gives up. Praise God. I'm glad we have a God like that. I'm glad we have a God that loves us like that. And you know what you can do as you live out your week? Do exactly the same thing we're doing right here. What we're doing here is modeling exactly the best way to practice God's presence. I mentioned the four things. You invite Him in. That's what we need to do. And that, you know, as you're growing in that, what we're doing here, we're singing praise, which is giving thanks. We are praying, and we're hearing the Word of God. And that is just such a powerful way for us to grow. So we're modeling that, we're growing in that, and I pray that in Jesus' name, it brings good and wonderful fruit. God's peace in the presence of our almighty and loving Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.